Je devrais dire, comme je l'ai fait hier soir, qu'on ne présente pas Richard Sennett. Je vais dire simplement un mot sur lui, parce que je pense que son paysage est peut-être moins connu que celui d'Edgar. Richard Sennett, c'est quelqu'un d'exceptionnel. C'est quelqu'un qui aurait dû être violoncelliste. C'est bien ça, Richard.
Oui.
Et puis, il a eu un problème au poignet. Bref, sa carrière de musicien s'est interrompue. Et le malheureux, il ne lui restait plus qu'à être un sociologue.
Personne n'est parfait.
Et donc, c'est un sociologue. C'est un sociologue que tous les Français qui s'intéressent aux sciences sociales connaissent un certain nombre de ses travaux. Je pense qu'en France, tu as été découvert à l'occasion du livre sur les tyrannies de l'intimité. Je crois que c'est vraiment le livre qui... Bon. Et puis ensuite, des travaux extrêmement variés sur le capitalisme, sur des travaux aussi sur, qui ont quelque chose à voir avec les problèmes de l'architecture. Enfin bref, un paysage de recherche très diversifié. Richard, c'est aussi quelqu'un qui est un constructeur, puisqu'on est là pour parler de création, qui a contribué à créer des institutions, à développer des choses au niveau international. Il a joué un rôle, il joue un rôle important à la London School of Economics and Political Science. Je ne sais pas si tu comptes le jouer encore longtemps, mais en tout cas, il a joué un rôle. Et on l'accueille à Paris, non seulement aujourd'hui pour cette rencontre, mais aussi parce qu'il nous rejoint au Collège d'études mondiales avec quelques-uns qui sont déjà présents et qui sont dans cette salle pour mettre en place avec Saskia Sassen une chaire d'études. Je ne sais pas si c'est le nom exact, c'est sur la ville, Edil ? Sur la ville globale. Et donc, une chaire très originale dans sa conception. On aura l'occasion de faire une séance inaugurale bientôt et qui montrera tout le caractère créatif de cette chaire qui ne sera pas du tout une chaire classique. Voilà, je voulais dire donc ces quelques mots, Richard, avec mon amitié. Nous sommes des amis d'assez longue date maintenant. Et ben, c'est un plaisir de t'écouter. Et là, je crois que tu vas nous diriger du côté du théâtre.
Bon. D'abord, je dois confesser que mon français est très, très faible. Je parlerai en anglais. Mais s'il y a des problèmes de me suivre, peut-être de temps en temps, j'essaie en français. I would like to present to you some very practical work done by a group which I founded 4 years ago called Teatrum Mundi. And Teatrum Mundi is a collective of 250 urbanists and artists who are concerned with urban culture. Most of the artists are performing artists, metteurs en scène, musiciens, choreographes. And the urbanists are, for the most part, architects rather than planners. And the idea of Teatro Mundi is by conferences and collective work to relate, to animate urban culture, particularly in the performing arts in the city. So today I show you just one problematic that we have been working with practically, which is the relationship between the stage and the street. The street is something which exists mostly for us in this project in poor districts, or I guess, as you would say in French, in popular parts of the city. And the stage being the formal stage of performing art. So this is a project to animate very formal arts of dance, theater, in popular quarters. In a way, this relation between stage and street is nothing new. This is a project we are doing with UNESCO to make a market more dramatic. All markets are theatrical, street markets. And we are trying to work in Delhi, in Nehru Place, which is a market for stolen or found electronics, called an informal economy. It's a very nice cover. To sell these wares, and we're trying to help organize the stage for that market. But it's something you know very well. You also know the relation between stage and street in events like the High Line, Occupy Wall Street, a political demonstration is a theatrical production, not just an ideological statement. And so that's another connection you know. The High Line, of course, you know, is a form of development of this relation between stage and street for commercial purposes. This is a theater. The High Line, which has rejuvenated what was a very, very poor area. Unfortunately, of course, as is the way with all gentrification, pushing the poor out of the area in the course of renovating. And this I'm not going to talk about. What I do want to talk to you about is a problematic relation of stage and street, rather than this easy connection between markets, politics, or rejuvenation. And it is a problematic relation because particularly in poor communities, because the forces that integrate the realm of performing arts and everyday life also can be in attention with the requisites of those performing arts themselves. That is, that rather a simple liaison, there is also a kind of resistant relation between the two because of the nature of performance itself. This is not a new problematic. It goes back to the origins. Its origins can be traced. It was something that was evident to Sebastiano Serlio, the great architect and theater metteur en scène, in the middle of the 16th century. And he tried to depict it in two back clothes. The first of them is a back cloth which he called the tragic scene, which he thought dramatized the distance between events on stage and those of everyday life. And he thought to do this by playing with perspective, leading the eye farther and farther out of the city towards another zone, this tragic zone in which theater unfolded. And he contrasted that to what he called the comic scene, in which the backcloth brings you closer and closer. It brings you closer and closer up rather than farther and farther away. Comedy is the realm of the everyday, of the intermixed of people and theater and so on. So these are, in their origins, an attempt by probably the greatest theater designer of the Renaissance to dramatize this difficult relation between stage and street, the one which takes you out of the city and the other which brings you close up to everyday life, tragic versus comic. So for us, the question was, how could we go about... I love comedy, but my politics also incline me and many of the other people who worked on this project, to think about how we could somehow create something which was like Serlio's comic scene in modern poor places. And we took as a model for this a prototype done by our member Andrew Todd, who also works here in France, which is a theater which is entirely openable, which is completely flexible between the inside and the outside. It is, the architectural principle of it is porosity. How do you say that in French? Porosité. And the idea of this was to make the relation between stage and street as possible, as open as possible. Here's how we built this. This is the Half Moon Theater in London, and you can see it's just a derivative. This is done by the Half Moon. It's a derivative of the prototype done by Florian Bagel and myself, as a way of physically removing any barrier between stage and street. To understand what this is about, think of where you are now. You're in a place whose every architectural move declares a divorce from the streets outside. Another principle of this, to make this close relation, was that of integration. And I show you another theater work done by, again, Andrew Todd and a British designer named Stephen Tompkins. It is the Young Vic Theater. Perhaps some of you have visited it in London. And the idea is that a theater should contain activities which draw in the street, which are not merely porous, but are also like a magnet drawing people inside. Here, you can see how that's done in the simplest way by providing a terrasse. And this is the inside of the terrasse. There are no exterior corridors in this theater, such as you see in the Philharmonie here. This is the entrance to, that's the entrance to this. There's no intermediation. Do you understand what I mean? This is a complete integration between this and this.
Pour être bien sûr que tout le monde a bien compris, tout le contraire de la Philharmonie, une intégration totale entre la rue et le théâtre proprement dit, et le bar qu'on voit, le restaurant, c'est ce qui mène sans couloir à la grande salle.
Et sans protection. another means of doing this is affected by one of our members in Florence, and that is literally to embed, to integrate, to embed the exterior of the theater into the street completely modestly. You don't know this is a theater. This is a very, very gaspillé, would you say in French? This is a very troubled quarter in Florence, far from any tourist. And the theater is just there, leading inside to a very formal space. So that is another way to bring the stage and the street close together, simply by erasing the, if you like, symbolism of the theater as a special kind of institution. I show you a third way of making this a connection, this comic scene, if you like. And that is through adaptation. This is a project in Japan a theater by Toyo Ito, which, if I may say immodestly, I have worked on and improved since it first appeared. It is a tent. How do you say that in French?
Tent.
It can be constructed and moved from place to place in 4 hours. And I'll show you what that means. The theater can be taken anywhere. Here's another place it is. Here's another place it is. It's a marvel. It holds 800 people. And to put up, that's maybe four times the space of this room, which you can construct and deconstruct in 4 hours. So that no theater, which is extremely demanding, can be it's a very recherché art, can be taken into any slum in Tokyo, of which there are many. Right. We've taken this to a bus station where casual workers gather to get work in the morning and built it up. So these are three techniques that Tetra Mundi is using based on our prototype initially, then based on the notion, which is one of porosity, then based on the notion of integration, where there is no gap between what happens in the street and what happens on stage, no couloir, no security, or adaptability in which the theater becomes mobile, to try to bring to popular areas of the city art. What stands in its way? There are some practical problems with this. The first is the need for distance. Okay, there are physical barriers that always stand in the way of doing this. One of them is, I just show you this calculation. I'm not going to explain it to you, but it deals with reverberation times, which are necessary in the design of a theater. This room has very poor reverberation times. If this were a stage, it's why, even though it's given its dimensions, we have to use this. For the professional designer of theaters, you need to have a space which is shaped in such a way that you have reverberation time. Another, of course, is the problem of what's called a cone of vision in English, which is how we see. Our eye always frames objects in a cone of vision. So not everything will serve, which is why this kind of theater, this is the Boston Symphony Hall, is a fabulous place to present music. It's the most perfect theater in the world we know, but it's entirely divorced from the street. This is as great as the Philharmonie in Vienna. I say nothing about your theater, your Philharmonie. But there are more profound conditions that argue for a separation between stage and street. One of them is the need to be able to concentrate on something without distraction, which is what we call sheltered cohesion. Here's a great example of it in the Philharmonie of Berlin, which your Philharmonie here is roughly based on. And the concentration here is in the clever, indeed the magnificent way in which the architect Scherun has focused everything so that you're aware not of your neighbors, but you're aware of the audience. You're aware of the performance itself. There are no auditory or indeed cone of vision distractions. This is what it looks like. And as I say, this is an imitation of that in the Philharmonie. But it's completely divorced from the outside. Now, the origins of this were because in Berlin, this was near, was in the old Western sector, but was near the Eastern sector. But it was also to convey purposely by Scherun the idea that this is a world that's protected from communism, from guards, from guard dogs, from guns, that you're safe inside. And that is part of the magic, as you described it, of theater, that you're safe, that you have left a world in which you are vulnerable. Now, that is not although this is a magnificent 20th century example of that symbolization, it's not new. You can find it in older theaters, particularly in Wagner's Bayreuth. He called here what it is the notion that a space of illusion is something that makes the audience forget itself and focus on the stage as something mystical. And I'm going to try and explain to you what this mystische Abgrund. I have played in this too often, and I'll tell you why. The mystische Abgrund here is that you see it's a huge orchestra, but all you see is the stage. I'm showing you now an Orst concert so you can see what that is. There is a leather hood that covers all the musicians so that when you play, the music seems to come from nowhere. And that mystische Abgrund makes the stage into an enchanted space, completely unlike everyday life. When I played in Bayreuth, I found this as a musician, a horror. You're sweating under this leather hood. You are suffering. But for the audience, we are kind of these magical voices that are coming from nowhere, making the stage, even in this old the famous Charot presentation at Bayreuth, something that is believable because it's divorced from a world that can be seen and understood. So that beyond the physical separation, beyond the need for concentration as embodied in Scherun's theater, here there is a kind of mystical element introduced architecturally, this mystische Abgrund, by hiding us under this horrible leather hood. That leads to what I really want to say to you today about this, the tension between stage and street is embodied in the relationship between non-representational and illusion. The need that we have in the actual making of art to make something which is not representational, which is an as-if, an illusion not in the sense of being false, but of something that has no external references. You in France know that by probably the greatest piece of scenography devised in the 20th century. That is the mask made by Jacques Lecoq, which is a blank mask worn by people who are memes, but also in no theater, modern no theater, and even by, as an experiment, by musicians like me. Seeing nothing, with the face representing nothing, you hear enormously more intensely. And a performer who is not showing him or herself is released. For the memes that Monsieur Lecoq trained, it was that the work of gesture did what the face no longer showed. When he put this mask on musicians like myself, we played much more freely because we were absent. And in this kind of neutrality, this kind of non-representation of the performer, the illusion becomes stronger and stronger. That reflects itself in making the stage someplace that has no relationship to the street, with its skin colors, its classes, its ethnicities, its religions. You see nothing in this kind of theater. And what we have come up with is that ultimately your machine, I think, is forget it. It doesn't matter.
Vous avez à nouveau de mode.
Yeah.
We need it again?
No, forget it. I just described this. It's all technologies like this. this is a problem of stage and street. Politically, what we want to do and what we are doing in the Teatro Mundi project is bringing them together. But as artists, we know that something is being lost in that process. Something that is subtle but profound in the creation of performing art, which is the mask, which is the ability to see, we say in English, to hear, we say, with the third ear, or to see with the mind's eye. And to do either of those things, a divorce between the stage and street is necessary. So anyhow, this is what our project is about. It's concluding now. We're building this prototype theater all over. We're building them in Barrios in Mexico City. We're going to build them in Brazil. Hope we can build them in Chile. And we're building them in Mumbai and in Chennai. But we know in doing this, we're animating the experience of art for poor people. We're bringing it to them, but we may be involved in a conflict where we're losing something as artists. So that's what I wanted to say to you.
Merci. Can people speak to you in French?
Oui, vous pouvez me poser des questions en français et j'essaie de vous répondre en français.
Bon, chacun dans sa langue, c'est très bien. Je trouve que c'est très bien. Donc, on peut prendre quelques minutes pour quelques questions. Qui souhaite intervenir? Alors, en attendant, moi j'étais évidemment un peu au courant et très intéressé. D'abord, dans les techniques, ces techniques de tente, c'est le cirque, c'est le principe du cirque,
oui.
que l'on connaît bien, en tout cas, dans certains pays. Alors, moi, ce qui m'intéresse aussi, c'est dans la discussion sur ce que...
Mais imaginez un cirque pour le no theater.
Voilà.
Théâtre de non.
Bien sûr. Ce qui m'intéresse aussi dans la discussion sur le divorce ou pas le divorce entre la rue et l'estrade, enfin le stage, je ne sais pas comment on dit en français, estrade,
la scène.
Ce qui m'intéresse aussi, c'est un autre aspect. Ce n'est pas seulement l'artiste, c'est également le spectateur. Je vais faire une comparaison très audacieuse. Je ne suis pas franc-maçon. Mais il m'est arrivé à quelques reprises d'être invité chez les francs-maçons. Et quand on, en France, quand on est invité à aller parler chez les francs-maçons, c'est bien plus que les couloirs de la philharmonie. On rentre on doit passer par des zones sans intérêt, mais qui font une sorte de rupture voulue pour te faire entrer dans une salle qui te fait rentrer complètement dans un autre monde. Oui. Et donc, je pense que dans la discussion, il n'y a pas simplement la question de l'artiste ou les problèmes, disons, plus techniques, qui sont moins intéressants, mais qui existent. Il y a aussi, est-ce que pour le public populaire, il est bon qu'il n'y ait pas de sas, qu'il n'y ait pas ce sentiment de passer d'un monde à un autre monde, parce que ça peut être très valorisant de passer dans un autre monde. Je ne sais pas si ma remarque est claire.
Oui, oui. Non,
autrement dit, est-ce que la tension dont tu parles, est-ce qu'il ne faut pas aussi se poser, est-ce que vous ne vous posez pas la question du point de vue du spectateur?
Je dirais que pour les spectateurs pauvres, non. Que l'idée de faire un passage dans un mode illusoire et n'est pas quelque chose qui a la même provocation que pour un bourgeois. Et je trouvais, par exemple, en Tokyo, on a être un peu troublé par jusqu'à ce problème avec le No Theater. I have to speak in English.
Yeah.
We were worried about just this problem and bringing the No Theater to people who had never seen a no play. They're very expensive in Tokyo, extremely expensive. And we were showing them for free to these day laborers and so on. We thought, well, they need to make a passage between the street and the stage to focus, to concentrate. Not at all. The relief was immediate. Life presses so hard on these people in a way that there is a kind of immediate, I would say, it's experienced as freedom immediately. They don't need couloir to adjust them to the notion that they're someplace different. And I think what that is a real class difference in the experience of performance. It's often said about working class audiences that they are more naïf than you and me, or than you, I don't know. I'm very naive. I'm American. But I don't think that's the case. I think that what the bourgeoisie wants is a kind of experience which is a kind of parallel in art to everyday life. I'm not really in everyday life. I also love to listen to music or go look at theater. It's a kind of parallel world of being in control and then of submission. That doesn't exist for very poor people. And this is something that artists need in performing, whatever they are. But I don't think it's what a poor public needs. They're there. It's a gift. They want to take it in. In the Young Vic, which is in a Muslim area of London, there's a lot of nudity on stage, but not a problem. We have many women Muslim spectators. It's a gift to them. They don't need a moderation, a modulation. So I think that is it's a class difference in the spectator, but the problem is for us as performers. That's what I think.
Qui souhaite intervenir?
On ne voit pas grand-chose depuis ici, parce qu'on a les...
Françoise, tu ne voulais pas nous dire un mot de ce qui se passe à Nantes en discussion avec Richard?
I know that you talk with Françoise.
Ouais, oui, 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 tout le temps.
Non, en deux mots, la posture est à la fois proche et presque opposée. C'est-à-dire que, en fait, ce sont pas, on ne construit pas. Il y a tout un collectif d'artistes, il y en a plusieurs, mais il y a un collectif d'artistes qui intervient depuis 20 ans maintenant dans des quartiers. Et ce sont les personnes qui se déplacent. Et surtout pas des lieux qu'on construit spécialement pour, qui seraient différents, justement, pour des quartiers populaires que pour d'autres. Et ce sont les personnes, et des personnes qui performent dans l'espace public et qui performent avec les gens de l'espace public, qui eux-mêmes se retrouvent à questionner la production artistique. Et ça, c'est très intéressant parce qu'il y a un triple déplacement, en fait, un déplacement de ces artistes qui s'installent et qui s'installent sur des durées très longues. Et un public aussi qui, à l'intérieur de son espace, transforme son propre espace. Et là, par rapport à la toile de tente qui vient, on est vraiment sur, finalement, de la transformation de l'espace des personnes. Voilà. Je pense que c'est intéressant qu'on confronte, j'avais proposé qu'on les fasse venir, parce que c'est intéressant qu'on confronte ce genre d'expérience, parce qu'on est sur des bases différentes, parce que ce que présente Richard, c'est en fait une, enfin moi je le ressens comme une réflexion sur l'architecture aujourd'hui, et une réflexion qu'on peut faire sur cet espace-là, hein, par exemple à la Philharmonie.
It's what I would say, Françoise, is it's another way to bring art and people together. The art that we're bringing to them requires enclosure. You can't play a string quartet or perform a piece of no theater in a public space. And that's why I showed that physical constraints. I think you can do it with pièces, easier. But even there, the lack, you have to put microphones with all your actors and so on. There is a physical world of creating illusion for some kinds of arts, which is absolutely necessary, which gets into this kind of problem in a different way than you're dealing with. This is not bringing art into public space, but trying to negotiate that zone between the need for a special space and the inclusion of a working class public.
Pierre Mugler.
Oui, merci pour votre conférence. Il me semble qu'il y a un petit malentendu qu'on retrouve dans l'échange que vous venez d'avoir avec Françoise et plus encore dans l'échange que vous avez eu avec Michel Vivorca. Vous pensez les transitions, les couloirs, les entrées, comme des espaces de préparation au spectacle. Alors qu'en réalité, ces espaces-là peuvent être, me semble-t-il, conçus au contraire comme des manifestations d'une rupture. Prenez le cas des églises. Les églises, avec le profane, ce qui se trouve devant, ménagent toute une série d'espaces qui rompent au contraire avec la vie extérieure.
Oui.
Et peut-être que cette rupture-là, les classes populaires en ont plus besoin que les milieux favorisés qui, eux, sont capables de se mettre spontanément dans l'état d'esprit qu'il faut.
Oui, c'est un autre bâtiment. Je ne considère... I don't think of a theater as a temple of art in any way. The reason that we're particularly interested in the problem of porosity is that we want people to be able to use these theaters for other purposes than simply watching art. We are going to put in the back of the Young Vic, for instance, a birth control clinic, not what you usually think about in the theater. And maybe on the way to getting a condom or a diaphragm, you will take in a play, you know, maybe not. But that's a different, you know, a church is meant as a space of exclusion of the world. That's it. And its porosity is to get at something which is otherworldly. And the idea of these theaters is just the reverse of that, to get something that more tightly ties people to a space where art and other things are made together. But there's a very interesting comparison that you draw on. Going back to the discussion in the last session, where somebody asked about the religious function of, or was it two sessions ago? Religious function of these spaces. I would like to get modern, at least performing arts, away from that. What has been very deadening to me, I speak to you now as a musician, which I still do badly, is that there's this enormous gulf, this mystische Abgrund, which is there between artist and performer. When I perform, I like to talk to my audience. And the more difficult the music, for instance, I've just completed a cycle of performing the Bartok quartets, the more I want to talk to people, with people about them. That's an interaction, which is totally different from a kind of religious experience of submission to a rite, you know? I want people to be able to talk while I'm performing, you know? I want to loosen in one way that kind of worship of art, certainly for people who are new to it. But at the same time, it's disturbing to me as an artist. That's the tension.
Bogumil voudrait te poser une question.
Dans l'échange que vous venez d'avoir, il y a évidemment l'intrusion d'un lieu bâti spécial qui est le temple. Mais on voit très bien, je prends mes observations au Congo, dans les grandes villes, où nous nous trouvons devant des situations qui sont très difficiles de qualifier et qui ne sont quasiment pas qualifiables dans nos termes. Je prends l'exemple le plus classique. Étant donné l'énorme multiplication des églises chrétiennes, ou en tout cas des églises qui se réclament du christianisme, beaucoup parmi ces églises, en particulier des églises des femmes prophétesses, n'ont pas des bâtiments, n'ont pas des lieux. Donc, on organise la prière, le terme n'est pas tout à fait exact, dans ce qu'on appelle la parcelle. C'est-à-dire la parcelle est une unité urbanistique au Congo. Quelqu'un est propriétaire d'une parcelle qui, à l'origine, a une maison faisant face à la rue, mais qui, progressivement, est construite sur son parcours. Donc, il reste une sorte de cour intérieure. Et c'est dans cette cour intérieure, en plein air, évidemment, mais quand même dans un espace fermé, que les gens se retrouvent pour prier. Maintenant, prier est une performance multiforme. L'un des éléments importants qui nous renvoie au protestantisme britannique des origines est le témoignage, puisque ce sont les églises évangéliques. Donc, il est extrêmement important que la puissance divine se manifeste. Elle se manifeste à travers les corps des personnes qui, comme on dit, témoignent, c'est-à-dire qui s'élèvent, qui raconte et qui performe une histoire qui est en réalité la petite histoire de la misère quotidienne. C'est quasiment toujours la même histoire. Oui. Mon enfant était mourant, je courais partout, je cherchais, il n'y avait personne qui avait de l'argent. L'enfant agonisait et un cousin lointain arrive, il a un peu d'argent, donc je cours, j'achète de la quinine. Évidemment, ce cousin, c'est le messager. C'est donc l'élection divine qui, évidemment, donne à cette pauvre femme dans l'Assemblée un rôle particulier, puisque l'œil divin est tombé sur elle, donc qu'il élève, et qui fait que dans ces partages des misères performées, les femmes, parce qu'elles sont les plus éprouvées, retrouvent là, dans une sorte de théâtre joué ensemble, non seulement des moments de répit, donc d'exclusion du monde, mais des moments de satisfaction, puisque leur misère a été perçue, valorisée. Et quand on enquête un tout petit peu, et j'arrête ma question parce que je vais poser ma question, on apprend très vite qu'évidemment, on ne témoigne pas qui veut. Il y a toujours dans ces églises un petit groupe de sages qui écoutent d'abord les témoignages, qui les sélectionnent. Dans un groupe de prières que je connaissais depuis des années, bon, je ne fréquente plus, ils ont eu des mauvaises expériences, des sidatiques, qui témoignaient de la guérison miraculeuse et qui décédaient une semaine après. Bon, c'est gênant pour la prophétesse ou pour les prophètes, et c'est gênant pour les groupes. Donc, nous avons là, donc, d'une certaine manière, des formes d'autothéâtre, c'est-à-dire où les gens réjouent, mais à un autre niveau d'exemplarité,
oui,
leur vie, et où ces vies reçoivent des récompenses qui réjaillissent sur d'autres, où il y a, malgré tout, et je pense que c'est important, cet espace délimité, puisque vous dites la scène et la rue, on est quasiment dans la rue, mais en même temps, pas dans la rue, puisque, je dirais, tous les pauvres, tous les miséreux peuvent y entrer à condition qu'ils acceptent l'autorité de la prophétesse.
Oui, oui, oui.
Donc, à condition qu'ils reconnaissent une forme de filiation.
Oui.
Oui. I don't know if you want to.
No, it's very beautiful.
Bon, je crois qu'il faut mettre une fin à cette rencontre. Je voudrais juste faire trois suggestions touristiques à Richard. La première suggestion touristique, c'est d'aller dans un restaurant qui s'appelle le Bel Canto. C'est un restaurant où le personnel, c'est des élèves du conservatoire. Ils te servent à manger en chantant des airs d'opéra. Ça, c'est la première suggestion. La deuxième suggestion, c'est d'aller dans une grande gare SNCF. Il y a des gens qui jouent du piano. Ils ont installé des pianos. Je ne sais pas si ça se fait dans d'autres pays.
C'est à Londres aussi.
À Londres aussi.
Les pianos sont terribles.
Les pianos sont catastrophiques et évidemment les artistes sont inégaux. Et évidemment, mais pas un jour où il pleut, il faut que tu ailles faire un tour Place de la République pour voir La Nuit Debout, quel que soit ton jugement, parce que c'est la même famille de mouvements que Occupy Wall Street. Tu as peut-être
Je dirais de cette about this project that we are not trying to make a model. I want to make this clear of how art and society should relate in general. I don't think that way, and no one else in it does. It is how a highly organized arts, which require, which like the no theater or like chamber music, which grew in very special conditions, which were limited to a very specialized and very elite group of people, can have another life with people who are not elite. That's the problematic of this. It's not to make all art participatory versus high art. It is to take a certain kind of art, which is deeply steeped in certain traditions which have limited its audience, and to try and find a new audience for it. I would say of all the images I showed you, the Toyo Ito no theater is the most puissant in that regard, because it's an old art, at least 1,200 years old, which is being practiced as it's developed over 1,200 years in places where it was never supposed to be. And that's our project.
Merci, Richard.
Thank you. Est-ce qu'on a droit